My guest today is Ryan Knight. Ryan's an army veteran and now care coordinator with Walking with the Wounded. And he's talking about his experiences and how he's helping others today for World Mental Health Day. Ryan, thank you very much for coming on the show. Can you just start off by giving us a bit of an overview of your military career and tours of duty?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having us. I was in the Royal Army Medical Corps, joined from the young age of 16, went through kind of the junior leader's route, got to my unit, hadn't really had an experience in medicine, so spent a lot of the first few years cutting my craft, working in different hospitals in London, building up clinical hours, and still, like today, I had itchy feet, so I was always pestering the hierarchy for opportunities to go away. Literally the week after my 18th birthday, they asked if I'd be happy to go out to Iraq and support a different infantry battalion. So obviously jumped at that chance. That was very exciting. Probably the excitement superseded the nerves at that stage. And then reality hit when I got out there. That was a very interesting tour on Telic. And then again, not one to like sitting around in camp. So I was always asking to do extra stuff, from providing medical cover for drop zones for the airborne brigade, or going out to do humanitarian work in Kenya or based from Cyprus. And then another opportunity come up a few years later to go out to Afghanistan. That was on Herrick, and that's where it finished.
It was when you were serving on Op Herrick, the vehicle that you were traveling in hit an IED. Tell us just as much as you're comfortable with.
The irony is that I only had about 2 weeks left. It was a really intense 7-month tour. Classic situation of a 12-person patrol, 3 vehicles. I was middle vehicle, commanding that. And next thing I remember, it's on its roof. On that day, I was the only survivor. We lost the driver, we lost the support in the back, and we were carrying a local interpreter at the time. So it's a bit hazy on memory on what happened, but the biggest issue was that I was the patrol medic and I was trapped, not being able to fulfill my role. There was small arms fire going on. There was lots of confusion, lots of chaos. And I was severely injured. And I guess if you fast forward, that was a long, long recovery process. And that put a stop to my military career and received a medical discharge.
I'm so sorry. It's so many levels of trauma, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I often refer to anyone living with trauma, it's like an onion. There's just layers and layers of it, and you really only just scratch the surface at the beginning. I think for me, my biggest issue was the readiness for help and willingness to start revisiting some of this trauma. And I think that that is common ground today amongst many of my friends, peers, and people I work with, and the beneficiaries of the charity I work for. It's asking for help. It's the challenge, often the most difficult step, and then not knowing what that looks like. It's scary. Do I need to revisit everything? Do I need to bring up all this trauma? However, there's not a one-stop approach to this. It's clinically driven. I believe you live with PTSD for life, whether that's clinical fact or not, and I just think we learn how to deal and manage it and manage the symptoms of it. I have my ups and downs. It's been a long old battle. I have good days, bad days, but I just try and harness all my energy, skills and experience into helping others. And often that is just providing a safe guidance towards asking for help and then supporting them for that process.
And is that at all cathartic for you, being able to use your experience to help others?
I think it's definitely removed barriers in my work I do today to be able to build the credibility of the rapport pretty quickly. I've got a willingness to share my experience with anyone, really. Problem is with trauma, it could be historic, it could be present. I'm seeing a trend in vicarious trauma or moral injury is all topics of interest at the moment. We just need to remove the barriers to what people consider that they need help for. It's not someone that just has PTSD or is feeling a bit sad. Yes, there may be an event that's happened to them. It may be an event that's happened to a family member, a friend, something they've witnessed, something they've heard. Constant long periods of exposure to certain circumstances, all of that can lead to a time when that person needs help, and we just want them to know that help is out there and you've just got to ask for it.
Any advice in that? It's so easy to say, isn't it? Just ask for it. What would your advice be to someone who's ready to ask for help? They just, how do you put that foot in front of the other?
Well, there are lots of wonderful organisations who support you in that process. For example, where I work now at Walking with the Wounded is a military charity coming into its 15th year. What we offer is support to anyone that served in the armed forces who has any form of physical, mental or social challenge. And what we'll do is we'll pick up your referral, we'll work with you in a very bespoke, personalised pathway and get you the support you need. That is often done face-to-face, and what we can promise is we never leave you half done, if that makes sense. It's a full wraparound package. The three pillars of support that we offer, that we understand that most people will be struggling with, will be their social economic situation, there will be maybe employment needs, and there'll be mental health needs. And the pace is driven by the beneficiary. We have some experts out there. We work in collaboration with the NHS. We have in-house mental health services. We've got excellent employment advisors. We've got some wonderful people on the ground out there that can assist with housing issues, debt management, any drug and alcohol issues, the risk of homelessness, et cetera, et cetera. What I am seeing of late, though, is there's a really vulnerable period of time, and that is probably that first 6 to 8 weeks from leaving service.
The transition.
That transition out, some of it is extremely well orchestrated and maybe some not so. Either way, if anyone finds themselves in need of support in any of these areas, they just need to go onto our website, walkingwiththewounded.org.uk, a massive button on the top right corner called Request Support, and it will ask you just to fill in a number, your name, you'll get a call back, and someone will go through a bit of an initial assessment with you, and then you'll get put into the right area, the right team. You'll get a call back that day, if not the next day, latest. We're not a crisis line. We're in the parameters of 9 to 5. You'll get the response between Monday and Friday, but we are a wraparound supporting charity who will take you on a journey driven at your pace, very bespoke, and work with you to get the best outcomes.
And I just want to say, if you do need help immediately outside of those times, if you do need a crisis line, there's so many people that are out there waiting for your call and to help you. bfbs.com/audience support has a ton of them listed. Do you know what? I saw a little video earlier. You know, when you're in the car and it's making noise and you've got that choice, right? Yeah. Do something about it or turn the radio up.
Yep. Yep.
Do something about it.
Yep.
Because you turn the radio up, it's going to take a longer, more expensive fix.
Yep.
Because stuff doesn't fix itself.
Yeah. I need to practice what I preach as well, because it took me quite a few years to reach out for help. And this is why I'm so passionate about encouraging people to come forward. It is scary, but the hardest step is that first step, asking for help. The response I got was some fantastic therapies, some social economic support to prop me up so I could flourish and remove some of the stresses so I could focus on the therapy. All of these things made me more resilient, made me process some of my trauma and able to deliver the service I deliver today.
And once you'd asked for help, presumably that has a knock-on effect to your loved ones and all the people around you as well.
Absolutely. They're often forgotten about. The families, the support networks that are propping up those in need of support. I can say that from personal experience. My wife, Olivia, has put up with me through all the years, my ups and downs, but has always been there. But at the end of the day, is frustrated that she can't offer that clinical support that I need, which is why it's so important to reach out and get the right help.
What would your one message be to someone who's listening to this and thinking, maybe?
Exactly what I used to say. I would say to that person, if you're already considering it as you possibly need help, then you're more likely to. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Reach out, talk, and if you are willing to receive support, you'll get it.
Ryan, thank you very much. It's incredibly impressive what you've done, and thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you very much.
BFBS, the Forces Station.